Welcome to the Oakland Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Senior Pastor Randy Bain. It's our prayer that this message encourages you and strengthens you. For more information and for other resources, visit us at oaklandonline.org.
We're in James chapter 3. We're looking at heaven's wisdom. And so I'm going to read these verses 13 through 18. And if you have your Bibles, please open them up. We're going to stay right in the scripture almost the whole time. And if you don't, you can watch online or you can have your phones open, whatever you do. Hear the word of God from James 3. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peace-loving, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial, free of hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Shall we pray? Lord, thank you. Thank you for this, your holy word. Thank you, Lord, that you give us freely of your wisdom, of your spirit, of yourself, that we might be your children. Hide me behind the cross that you might speak to your people, Lord, and give us pray. Amen. Amen. The man I had to pick one would be James 3:13. It's that first verse. Will you recite that with me? Who among you is wise and understanding? It's kind of amazing, but that the in-depth, the new understandings I'm getting from James as I read this passage. So if now think about the negative side, Galatians 5, Paul says, but I say walk by the Spirit and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. Here it is, spirit and flesh. For the desire of the flesh is against the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another in order to keep you from doing whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, and he lists them. Verses 19 through 21, sexual immorality, impurity, indecent behavior, idolatry, witchcraft, hostilities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. I warned you before that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. I mean, that sounds a lot like James 3, doesn't it? Verses 14 and 15, he said, if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition, it goes on to say all these terrible things that happen. So really, it's almost the same. And then when James starts talking about the heavenly wisdom, it almost sounds like the fruit of the Spirit from Galatians 5, which is Paul. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. Not what comes down from above. Now, I was talking about being received by the Holy Spirit, by being revealed to us by God. I think in the sermon notes I have John 3:16 listed there. I really wanted John 3:3 listed there. It says, you must be born again. The word born again in that translation, in the original translation, can mean born again or born from above. It's the same word. And so if you think about that, it says what is born of the flesh is flesh, what is born of the spirit is spirit. He's not just talking about being born again, but he's talking about being born from above. And so this earthly wisdom isn't from above. It's from down here. It's from us. And there's three descriptions given there, earthly, natural, and demonic. The earthly part, literally, if you look in the Greek, it really uses the word for earth. It is from here. It's from the ground up. It's how we live and think and react. And then the next word is natural. We would also say it means unspiritual. But the word there really uses the word soul in it. And it's almost like soul breath. And it's talking about This earthly wisdom is human breathed. I want you to think about that for a little bit. Because there's an Old Testament word, ruach, that we talk about, which means wind, breath, or spirit. And oftentimes preachers will emphasize that when it talks about wind, it talks about breath, it's talking about the Holy Spirit. This is not talking about the Holy Spirit. It's talking about the breath of the soul, human breath. Like the survival of the fittest. How does the fittest survive? Well, they kill the weak ones and they keep surviving. It's the idea of getting ahead of somebody else or being better than someone else. This is earthly, natural, human breath. And finally, the demonic is just what it says. It's just plain evil. So take the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve. Where did they get the wisdom at the tree, at the garden? They already had God's wisdom. God said, you can hear, just don't eat from this one. And that was God's wisdom. What was the wisdom they had? Well, they had this natural wisdom, this earthly wisdom, this demonic wisdom that said, no, you can eat from the tree. It's good. It'll make you wise. You can be like God. And Adam and Eve used their earthly wisdom and said, yeah, we want to be our own gods. I want to make my own decisions. I want to be like God. And so they gave in. The ambition. Verse 16 says, for where you throw out the word of God, you throw out the firm foundation of truth, all you're left with is human wisdom. And that's where we are today in our culture. And I'm not just saying it's American culture. It's been in Europe for 20 years, 30 years. Is that we know what's best, and we set rules, and we'll determine what's moral and what isn't moral. We don't talk to us about God. And we are reaping the rewards of that. Where there is human wisdom, earthly wisdom, demonic wisdom, then there is every kind of evil. That's what we're experiencing. My friends, we are in a battle. We are in a spiritual warfare for the gospel or human truth. And if really someone with human truth really considers the things of God, they will justify, they will prove what the Word of God already says. So, let's look on the other side, the good side, heaven's wisdom. You just back off. I mean, you're fighting with your spouse. What if you just back off and say, Lord, what if the Lord has his way? Give him room to make a decision. I had one time, even in the church, one time I had a Sunday school class they wanted to start of young couples. And one of the old mate patriarch of the church said, here's his exact comment in church at a board meeting. He said, if a man and a wife can't set separate, because they used to have men and women, if a man and a wife can't set separate, because they used to have men and women Sunday school classes, he can handle his will. You don't have to battle for him. I mean, sure, sometimes we need a prophet. Absolutely. Sometimes we need someone to stand up and say, this is wrong. But then you got to let the Lord handle it. Let the chips fall where the Lord will have them to fall. You can let go of your rights. It's okay. Sermon on the Mount, what did Jesus say? Turn the other cheek, right? He said, if someone takes your coat, he says, give him your cloak or your undergarment also. Someone makes you go 2 miles with them. I mean, he said, go the second mile. Think about Abraham and Lot in Genesis chapter 13. There was too many of them. You know, Lot's family was growing and his herd was growing and Abraham's herd was growing and they were fighting, didn't have enough food, you know, didn't have water. And so they said, let's separate. And Abraham said, and that God gave them an option. And so Abraham decided not to choose. He told Lot, you choose. You can take the fertile valley down there with Sodom, or you can take this rugged, hilly mountain area. Well, what's Lot going to say? Yeah, I'm taking the fertile valley. That's what he took. Abraham gave that up. And you know, if you read that chapter, Genesis 13, God then said to Abraham, because you have chosen, I will bless you. I will give you every place that you step on this. This will be your inheritance for all time. And it was one of the beautiful promises of the Word of God. But he gave up his rights. We can do that. Receive what is given, heavenly wisdom. Not take what you want. Well, I'm going to close with this message, and I know I do it, I probably overdo it, but Oswald Chambers' Friday's reading, just I couldn't get away from it. It was entitled Bond Servant of Jesus, and he uses Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ, yet I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And I'm going to read two paragraphs, so hang on. I know Oswald's tough to read sometimes. It says, has the breaking of my independence come? And that means having to have my way instead of God's way. All the rest is religious fraud. Whoa. If you haven't come to the point where you have surrendered to God, so his way is what you want instead of your way, everything is religious fraud. The one point is to decide is, will I give up? Will I surrender to Jesus Christ, placing no conditions whatsoever to how the brokenness will come? I must be broken from my own understanding of myself. When I reach that point, immediately the reality of the supernatural identification with Jesus Christ takes place. And the witness of the Spirit of God is unmistakable. I have been crucified with Christ. You know when you have surrendered. You know when you have asked God to have his way in your life. And you experience the presence of the Holy Spirit. The passion of Christianity comes from deliberately signing away my own rights and becoming a bondservant of Jesus Christ. Until I do that, I begin to be a saint. Okay, this paragraph's the challenge. In me, I'm yours. I've been praying that John Wesley Covenant prayer, and sometimes I want to quit praying it. It says, I'm no longer my own, but thine. Put me to what thou wilt. Rank me with whom thou wilt. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed by thine for thee. Brought low for thee or exalted for thee. Let me be full, let me be empty. I'm like, wait a minute, Lord, I'm not sure if I'm on all the negative side. But I am saying to God, help yourself to me. I believe that's what God is asking you. Somebody, Jesus, will you allow Jesus to help himself to you today? Really the challenge. If you want heavenly wisdom, then we do it not by getting it, but by allowing Jesus to have him help himself to us. That's true religion. That's not religious fraud. As the worship leaders come, we're just gonna close with that thought. Will you allow Jesus to help himself to you? Will you give him yourself? Give him full access. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you for the grace that you shower upon us every day. And I thank you, Lord, that even though I think some good ideas what would be best for me and my house, in this house, I pray, Lord, that you would help yourself to all of us, to me, to this church, to each individual here. Jesus, have your way. Amen. Amen. The altars are here, available if you need to pray. If God is someone to talk to you or pray with you, allow Jesus to have his way.
Thanks for listening to this message from Oakland Church. For more information and for other resources, visit us at oaklandonline.org.